Pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers has introduced people all over the world to the love of Jesus Christ and has impacted untold numbers of lives by presenting profound truth simply stated. Thanks for joining us for this message. Here's Adrian Rogers.
Today we're going to deal with something that I just believe may be personal and pertinent to you, but I want to check up. So let me ask you a question while you turn to Proverbs chapter 19. How many of you ever get angry, lose your temper, or find it, whichever the case is? We're going to be speaking today on God's answer to anger. God's answer to anger. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 11. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger. That is, a smart fella is not quick to get mad. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew upon the grass. God's answer to anger. Now, somebody said that anger is an acid that destroys its container. Indeed, it does, and it's a corrosive acid that does harm to anything that it is poured on. I'm talking about ungodly anger, unjustified anger. Not all anger is bad, as we're going to see in a moment. As a matter of fact, some anger is good. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in a moment that the Bible, on at least one place, commands us to be angry. So we're going to learn about God's answer to anger, unjustified, ungodly anger. Now, there are four basic thoughts that we have this morning. And the first is this, that sudden anger is to be controlled. That is, if you're a person who prides yourself in having a short fuse, you better be careful. The Bible has a lot to say about you. Now, there's some people, you know, they just say, well, it's my Irish, it just runs in the family, whatever it is. And they're like a loaded shotgun with a hair trigger. And anytime they're jostled, they blast away. I want you to see what the Bible has to say about getting angry in a hurry, about being quick to be angry. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17, look at it. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Now, friend, in plain, unvarnished language, you are a fool if you're quick to get angry. Now, you say, don't call me a fool. I didn't. God did. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Look again, if you will, in chapter 15 and verse 18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. If you want to get in trouble, I mean, if you want somebody to rearrange your face, then you be one of these kind of fellows who is quick to anger. And somebody's going to explain some things to you that you don't want to explain one of these days. Now, that's what God is saying right here in Proverbs 15, verse 18. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 8. Go not forth hastily to strive. That is, don't jump into an argument quickly. Lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. That is, you're going to start something you can't finish. And when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, you put your mouth into action before your brain is in gear, and you're going to find out that you're not going to be able to finish what you've started. That's what God's word says. Look, if you will, here in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There's more hope of a fool than of him. You don't even come up to being a fool. I mean, you've got to improve to be a fool. Now, when you're quick to get angry, dear friend, there is so much that you're going to lose. You can lose your job. You can lose your friends. You can lose your children. You can lose your wife. You can lose your health. You may lose a few teeth. You can lose your testimony. There's nothing more debilitating your Christian testimony than for the fact that you just fly off the handle. Now, the Bible tells us here that we are to defer anger. That is, sudden anger is to be controlled. Well, how do you control it? Well, first of all, you have to confess it. Now, there are a lot of us who just, we don't like to admit that we get angry. I'm a Christian, and I am not mad. I mean, we're sweet little dear, little us. Now, we couldn't get angry, could we? Of course we can. And so the very first thing we must do is confess it. By the way, if you repress it rather than confess it, it'll do you all kinds of damage. You may say that you're not angry, but your stomach keeps the score. As a matter of fact, you'd be surprised what kind of physiological, psychological, and spiritual problems take place when you have repressed anger, or if, for that matter, even expressed anger that is not handled properly. First of all, your body responds and begins to pump that adrenaline into your bloodstream, and then your blood pressure rises, and then your muscles get tense and ready for fight or flight or both, and your heart beats, your hands become sweaty, your eyes dilate, and listen, one man said, my life is at the mercy of any rascal who can make me angry. My life is at the mercy of any rascal who can make me angry. And every time you get needlessly, unjustifiably angry, you just drive another nail into your coffin. So, first thing, when you find these feelings coming, confess them. Don't repress them. Confess them to the Lord. Bring them to the Lord and say, Lord, there's something moving in me I don't like. And tell the Lord about it. Someone has well said that if you repress anger, it's like lighting a wastebasket and putting it in a closet and closing the door. It may burn itself out or it may burn the house down. It's just burning there. So the very first thing you need to do is just open the closet door and say, there it is, Lord, in there. That's my wastebasket, and I set it on fire. Now, that's the very first thing you need to do is to confess it. And then the second thing you need to do, you need to consider. You need to say, I'm getting upset. Now you need to consider and say, what is it, Lord, that is making me upset? Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29 here for a moment. Chapter 14 and verse 29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. You see, when you don't get angry right away, or when you feel this anger coming, you just kind of confess it to the Lord and say, now, Lord, show me. He will show you. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. You need to analyze what it is that's making you angry, so you don't go off half-cocked. Confess it, consider it, control it. You say, I can't control it. Oh, yes, you can. You know, the people say, oh, well, you know, if something comes over me, I can't control myself. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You know, sometimes a husband and wife be having one of these family discussions can be heard about two blocks away. And they will just be at one another's throat and rah, 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 and the phone will ring. Hello? Don't tell me you can't turn it on and turn it off. You can. Right? Yeah. You know, don't you? You say, Pastor, how do you know? I know too. I'm telling you, folks, that all is just a lot of excuses to say that we can't control it. We can control it. We can control it. And we'd better learn how to control it. Look, if you will, in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 11. A fool uttereth his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterward. Now, you can keep it. I mean, a fool just spouts off everything. A wise man can control it if he will. Now, we're talking about God's way to health, wealth, and wisdom. So what I'm trying to say is that if you find that first flash of anger over and over and over again in the book of Proverbs and in other places in the Bible says that we are to control sudden anger. Do we have a chance to confess it, consider it, and contain it? All right, now look, sudden anger is to be controlled. Secondly, sinful anger is to be condemned. Why do we defer anger, as our text tells us to do? Why is it that we are slow? So we might find out whether it is righteous anger or sinful anger. If it is sinful anger, it is to be condemned. It is to be dealt with harshly. It is to be repudiated. It is to be repented of. Now, don't treat anger, unjustified anger, sinful anger, as weakness. It is not weakness. It is wickedness. The one thing that God will not accept for sin, it is an alibi. Well, by the way, what is sinful anger? Well, number one, it's anger without a cause. You remember when Jesus said, whosoever shall be angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of hellfire? Anger without a cause. Many times, the problem is not what somebody has done, But the problem is within us. It's our own frustration. It's our own lack of peace with God and the sin that's in our own lives. By the way, nobody outwardly can control your emotions. You do that. It's anger without a cause. I'll tell you something else that is sinful anger. It is anger that is centered in a person rather than anger that is centered on an offense. When you get angry so that your anger makes you hate a person rather than hate what that person has done, and we'll say more about that in a moment, that's sinful anger. Sinful anger is anger that burns and desires revenge. That is sinful anger. Sinful anger is anger that is cherished up and stored up in the heart. We're not to stir up anger, and we're not to store up anger. Some people love their anger. They hold on to it. Sinful anger is anger that has an unforgiving spirit, that will not, refuses to forgive. Now, we must deal with sinful anger as we would deal with any other sin. It must be condemned. It must be repented of. God will not accept an alibi. All right. Sudden anger is to be controlled. Sinful anger is to be condemned. Now, stubborn anger is to be conquered. Now, the Bible goes on to say in our text, look at it again, if you will, here in Proverbs chapter 19, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. What a glorious victory it is when we learn to pass over a transgression. That is to forgive and to get over. But some people don't seem to be able to do that. You see, you're not to be conquered by anger. God wants you to be victorious. Now, how are you going to do it? How are you going to get rid of this stubborn anger? Well, leave the book of Proverbs and turn, if you will, for a moment to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you some amazing scriptures here on anger in the book of Ephesians. And we'll use our Proverbs as a stepping stone to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, here he's talking about stubborn anger again. When you let the sun go down upon your anger, that is when you live with your anger. Your husbands and wives, you get into an argument, and then rather than kneeling by the bed and getting right with God and getting right with one another, you go to bed back to back. Angry. You let the sun go down upon your wrath. You know what you've done? You've opened the door to old Slewfoot, to the devil. What you've done is this. You've said, devil, come in and wreck my home. Devil, come in and destroy my family. Devil, come in and ruin my testimony. You have given the devil a place. That's what the Bible says. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give a place to the devil. What you've done is you've given the devil a beachhead, a foothold, a foul nest. And believe you me, he's ready to come in. And it is that anger, that stubborn anger that the devil loves to have as a campground. Now, let me show you how the devil works when you open the door. You let the sun go down upon your wrath and you come in. The devil has six steps that he's going to destroy you with, this matter of stubborn anger that I'm talking about. Begin in verse 31. We're in Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness, 1, and wrath, 2, and anger, 3, and clamor, 4, and evil speaking, 5, be put away from you with all malice, 6. Those are the six steps. 6, the number of a man. And when you open the door to the devil, and you let the sun go down upon your wrath, that is, sudden anger becomes stubborn anger. Let me show you what happens. First of all, he talks about bitterness here. What is bitterness? Bitterness is that feeling of resentment when somebody does you a wrong, or you think they've done you a wrong, and you get bitter in your heart. Now, the Bible in the book of Hebrews calls this a root of bitterness in dealing with your lawn, weeding your lawn. Do you ever try and get a dandelion up? You know, you just pull the tops off, but you haven't dealt with that rascal because the root is down there, and there is that root of bitterness. And it gets in there, and you begin to feel hurt. Somehow you feel that your rights have been trampled on. Somehow you've been overlooked. Somebody done you wrong, huh? And you feel that you're justified. And that's what the Bible calls bitterness. That's step number one, bitterness. Now, what happens to bitterness? Well, the next thing is, the next word he uses here is wrath. That's step number two. The word wrath comes from a Greek word that means hot. You get all hot about it. You get all hot and bothered. There's a slow burn that starts, and the bitterness turns to burning. And you just feel that fire start in there, and it smolders and smolders. You know that feeling? It's an ugly feeling, isn't it? That bitterness, I felt it. That bitterness becomes that hotness, that burning, that smoldering thing. And then look at the third step here. The third word is anger. Now, wrath speaks of that which is on the inside, but anger speaks of that which is on the outside. And the Greek word for anger here means that which is open and outward. It is outward hostility now. As the smoldering rags that are in the attic of the mind now burst into flame. We may have been bitter for quite a while. We may be doing the slow burn for quite a while. And then just the right catalyst happens, and then it's anger. That's the third step. This is outward now and is active now. And then that's followed by number four, clamor. Now, the word clamor has the idea of being vocal, being loud. It may be tears, but most often it is shouting. And you say, and you're talking with a person, you say, well, now you don't have to shout. He says, I'm not shouting. He gets loud. And clamor comes in here. But then what follows when we start, when we lift our voices that way? That clamor turns to evil speaking. Then when we hear ourselves talking that way, and that open hostility breaks out, then we start to say things we never really meant. We begin to speak evilly. There's evil speaking, slander. I hate you. I wish you'd never been born. You're a stupid child. You're the meanest person I ever knew. And we begin to say things that we know are not true. But we're on a roll, aren't we? I mean, we're doing good now. I mean, the devil says, and tell him this. And you start to say those things. You don't mean them. But you verbalize them. Because that bitterness turned to a burning. And that burning turned to an anger. And that anger turned to a clamor. And that clamor turned to an evil speaking. And then that evil speaking does what? Turns to malice. You know what malice is? That's when you want to hurt somebody. Pow! Or if you can't hurt them with your fist, you'll hurt them with words. If you can't hurt them with words, you'll hurt them with money. If you can't hurt them with money, you'll hurt them somehow. That's when a mother will slap a child. That's when a husband will abuse a wife. That's when somebody goes for a gun or goes for a stick or does some foolish, silly thing. And the old devil just sitting over there grinning. Oh, he's having a time. And you're the one who opened the door. Said, come on in, devil. Wreck my home, wreck my life, wreck my health. Destroy the whole thing. You're the one who did it. You gave a place to the devil. Because you let the sun go down upon your wrath. And that smoldering anger there begins to take its toll. Terrible, isn't it? Awful, isn't it? Hideous, isn't it? I think it's not a one of us hadn't been there at one time or another. And you say, Pastor, that's exactly the way it works. Sure, that's exactly. You don't need some psychologist to tell you. God's word is already here to tell us exactly what the devil wants to do. To harm us, to hurt us, to ruin us, to wreck us, to destroy us, to destroy our testimony. And what I'm saying is this, that sudden anger is to be controlled till you have a chance to think it through. Sinful anger is to be condemned immediately. Stubborn anger is to be conquered. How are you going to conquer it? Well, number one, you must recognize it. I mean, you've got to trace it back. And you say, why am I such an angry person? And you've got to go back to find out where that root of bitterness is. Because I don't care how much you pick off the tops of those dandelions, those roots are there, and you're going to have to get down to the root of the matter and analyze it. First of all, you got to recognize it, admit it, confess it. And then secondly, you've got to repent. Now, this verse says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you. Are you willing to put it away? Now, friend, if you're not willing to put it away, just forget it. God's not going to do it for you. You can whine and cry and all of that until you put it away. The Greek word for repentance, metanoia, means a change of mind. It means I'm sick of it. I had done with it. I don't want it. I don't want it. I choose against it. And nobody's going to choose against it but you. Now, you must recognize it. You must repent. Recognition, repentance, and then repudiation. You must repudiate the devil. I mean, kick him out. You gave him a place, say, I'm taking it back. You can't have it anymore. You no longer are going to have a place in my life and in my home and in my family. Out! You go in the name of Jesus. I gave you a place, now I'm taking it back. And the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed that place. And out you go, out! The Bible says, resist the devil, he'll do what? Flee from you. Kick him out. Put him out in the name of Jesus. And then rely upon the Holy Spirit of God. Now the Bible says here, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That is, verse 30, the Holy Spirit of God is there. He's going to give you the power to do what? Look in verse 33, to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I tell you, dear friend, we'd better get into Ephesians chapter 4. We'd better get into the book of Proverbs and learn how to deal with this thing of stubborn anger. Some of you have been angry for a long time. Your husband hurt you sometime a long time ago, and you've been nursing a fever and feeding a grudge. Quit it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Now, what are we saying here? Let's go back to our text again. We are saying that, number one, sudden anger is to be controlled. We're saying, number two, that sinful anger is to be condemned. We're saying, number three, that stubborn anger is to be conquered. And number four, sanctified anger is to be channeled. Did you know there's something that I want to call sanctified anger? Did you know that it's all right to be angry? Remember what our scripture said there that I just read to you in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26? What does it say? Be angry. Be angry. Be angry. When's the last time you have obeyed that command? But wait a minute, be angry and sin not. There is an anger that's not a sinful anger at all. If anger is sinful, then Jesus was a sinner, right? Because Jesus was moved with anger. Look, if you will, please, in Mark chapter 3. Just turn to it now. Mark chapter 3. And he, that is Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him, that is, the Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he said unto them, that is, to the Pharisees, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they held their peace, and when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the others. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. Now Jesus was moved with anger. And he was moved with anger, with a righteous anger. You can be angry and sin not, for Jesus Christ was without sin. What I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, is you can be good and mad. You can be good and mad. You can be angry and sin not. Jesus was moved with anger. As a matter of fact, if there's some things that don't move you to anger, I think there's something wrong with you. You know what moved Jesus to anger? Was the attitude of these Pharisees toward that poor, paralyzed man. Here was a man that had a deep need, but here were other people who were filled with selfishness and pride and arrogance and self-seeking. What did they have against Jesus? It was not primarily because Jesus was teaching what he was teaching. Their problem was not theological, it was personal. What Jesus was doing was, as we would say today, he was eating their lunch. I mean, all the people and bragging on them and following them and preening on them and all of these things. And they had the chief places and so forth. And now the crowds were going after Jesus, and they were filled with rotten envy. That was their problem. They were filled with selfishness and pride and self-seeking. And they cared not for people who were hurting. What motivates the liquor dealer? What motivates the pornographer? What motivates the slumlord? What motivates the dope pusher? Same thing. Pride, self-seeking. They don't care about other people. They don't care how other people hurt. They don't care how other people suffer. They're just like these Pharisees, in whose hearts the milk of human kindness had curdled. Now, I'll tell you what made Jesus angry. Jesus got angry when he saw other people being taken advantage of. Jesus got angry when he saw people insensitive in the face of human hurt. Listen, sometimes we get the idea that it is love that keeps us from being angry. Sometimes it's love that makes us angry. I mean, when we see people that God loves, made in the image of God, being destroyed. Abraham Lincoln went down to the slave market in New Orleans. There he saw a beautiful black girl being auctioned off as a slave, perhaps a sex object. Abraham Lincoln stood there tall and gaunt, and he felt a righteous indignation coming up in him. And he said to a friend, "That's wrong. One of these days, if I have a chance to hit it, I'm going to hit it, and hit it hard." It's righteous anger. Martin Luther, the Protestant Reformation. Martin Luther said, "When I'm angry, I pray better and I preach better." There's a little half-pint preacher named Channing. He weighed 120 pounds. He said, "When I get mad, I weigh a ton." I mean, doesn't the killing of little babies, doesn't that make you mad? An abortion? I mean, aren't there certain things that stir you? Things ought to stir you, move you. They did Jesus. Jesus never got angry when somebody harmed him. You never find Jesus retaliating. When people did things to Jesus, he was not moved with anger. And he never got angry even when they nailed him to the cross. But Jesus was moved with anger, righteous indignation, when he saw other people being misused and abused. Now, righteous anger gets angry not primarily at the person, but at the injustice. It gets angry not primarily at the sinner, but at the sin. Well, you say, "Now that's fancy footwork. You can't be angry at the sin without being angry at the sinner." Oh, yes, you can. You can love the sinner and still be angry at his sin, can't you? Sure you can. Sure you can. You know how I know? Because I get angry at me and I love my wife's husband. You ever get angry at you? Of course you do. We get angry at ourselves. "Why'd I do that? That's dumb. That's stupid." But yet you love you. As a matter of fact, the reason that you love you is why you get angry with you. And it was the love that motivated the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes anger is love's clearest expression. But we need to be careful. You see, that real anger, righteous anger, godly anger, is not getting even with somebody. It's not trying to do somebody harm. It is a righteous indignation that does not sin. And real godly anger, pay attention now, comes at the right time. It is expressed in the right way, and it is against the right things. Righteous anger is to be channeled. I would to God that we would not just have so much rhetoric about the things that are wrong in our world, but when we get angry about the injustices that we see, that we do something about it. Listen, there are enough godly people in this city that if they were to get angry in the right way, they could get rid of the pornography in this city. Could do it. Well, you say, "I wouldn't want to do that. That'd embarrass me." Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not trying to stir you up to act ugly. I'm just trying to stir you up to act Christian. A beautiful way. You say, "Pastor, that's what we pay you for. You get out there on the firing line. We're behind you to the last drop of your blood, Pastor." Listen. Friend, you get a city where people get righteously indignant. That's worth more than all the laws on the books. Did you know that? We get stirred up about what is happening, and we get angry at the right time for the right reason, against the right thing, in the right way. Sudden anger is to be controlled. Sinful anger is to be condemned. Stubborn anger is to be conquered. Sanctified anger is to be channeled. God's going to help us when we let the love of God Stir us up, and we'll take the stand for those who are being harmed and those who are being hurt. Look again, if you will, please, in Proverbs chapter 19. Look in verse 12, if you will. If you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, if you don't know that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. Look, if you will, in verse 12. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as the dew upon the grass. Now, the King of Kings is Jesus. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You can face his wrath if you want to, or you can have his favor if you want it. Do you want the king's favor? Like the dew on the morning grass? Sweet, gentle, loving, fructifying, and life-giving, you can have it. If you want to be saved today, not face the wrath of God, the king's wrath, well, you can be saved by receiving Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Listen to me, friend. You're not going to be able to conquer anger or anything else until you have Christ on the inside. It is not victory over the devil you need. It is the victor of the devil, the Lord Jesus Christ. And having Christ on the inside, and you know, whatever you're filled with is what spills out when you jostle. Isn't that right? If you want to know what you're filled with, just see what spills out when you jostle. If you're filled with Jesus, somebody jostles you, Jesus is going to spill out. That's all there is to it, friend. Now you need to be saved, born again, born from above. To be saved means that every sin is forgiven. To be saved means that Jesus Christ now lives in your heart. To be saved means when you die, you'll go to heaven. Are you saved?
If you would like to learn more about how you can know Jesus or deepen your relationship with him, simply click the Discover Jesus link on our website, lwf.org. For a copy of this message or additional resources, visit our online store at lwf.org or call 1-800-274-5683. Thank you.